on the first time.
Got it
on the first try.
Gotta love that. We are the most popular SEO podcast on iTunes. That is because of you.
You and you right away.
And you, and hey, Aaron, thanks for the sound check this morning, and sorry for the delay. We had some challenges. We're actually trying to upgrade equipment, and in the process of upgrading equipment, you know.
We're running into technical difficulties, and, you know, luckily for y'all who follow us, you growing through this with us. So we got the mics right now. We do laptop. So soon you may, hit us back. Let us know what the video looks like. If you see any improvements there.
Should even be better today. Notice the camera's a little closer today.
Mm-hmm, I see that.
What we realized is, yes, this camera is HD, and the zoom is actually a digital zoom. So you lose, resolution as you zoom in. Yeah. So we would put the camera farther back, zoom in a little bit. It was... I think that's one of the problems. We're also working on our Unknown Secrets of SIBO website analysis podcast and the videos associated with that. So this is all just getting better.
Yeah.
As usual, last time we had a tip. We had a podcast. Last podcast was 122. The tip was learn, understand, and utilize match types on Google and Bing. They have different names, right? Or are they the same name?
Hey, different names.
Different names.
In Google, we have broad match, exact match, and phrase match.
Right.
In Bing, there are, I'm just brain fart.
Something else.
Blank.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's not those three though.
We also like to, I'm excited. We've actually got three reviews to read.
Advanced match is in Bing.
Advanced match. Yeah.
Exact match is in Google.
Okay.
All right. I'm sitting there like, that didn't sound right when I said it the first time.
This is one of the things, we've got this ongoing gag. By the way, punch in the face to RMH, results made here in Houston. They're a traditional marketing agency that we do some work with. And I was actually over there yesterday and told them, tune in. Hopefully they have a get better at what you do thing every Friday morning. So they were going to tune into our podcast. Hopefully our technical glitches didn't stop you. Punch in the face. Speaking of punch in the face, we love it when people write a review about us and then use kind of our ongoing gags. I mean, literally, it's hard to describe how nice that feels.
It's a good deal.
The actual title of this one is Major Punch in the Face.
Ooh.
This is by Norman8551. This podcast is sheer entertainment from start to finish without sacrificing quality SEO topics. I have to say, Chuck, your SEO rapper videos make me laugh hysterically, and I have to admit, you have skills, creative and lyrical.
Wow, appreciate you.
Hey, I thought this was a review.
Combo.
For us.
He gets the whole,
That's like a suplex. The only comment I would make is when you hit on the SEO content, maybe some more advanced insight could be brought to the table. Overall, you guys are great, and I hope we hope you keep up doing what you do. Nate Norman is our listener's name.
Oh, man, Nate, appreciate the support and the compliments. Flattery works, so thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the iTunes review. And hit us up, podcast@ewef.com. Send us a link to your site, man. We'll check it out, and I'll show you some link love.
Absolutely. Next one. Also, punch in the face, 3! Just shy of a suplex. It's SEOKid.com.
Shout out to SEO Kid. You're probably watching.
Yeah, listen to a few online marketing and SEO podcasts when I found these guys. They are hilarious and insightful in their industry. I have listened to every podcast they have on iTunes. You can even watch them live when they record their show. Big punch in the face, guys.
Yeah, and shout out to SEO Kid, man. Woo. Met him last week. He logged on for the first time.
Yeah.
And so hopefully you're watching this week, man. Yeah, punch in the face to you. Keep watching. And let us know, what you think.
And then this one came in, the last set was a batch of four. I only read two on the last podcast. This one came in, Top Notch is the title.
The other day. Okay.
It's from JJpreneur. One of the few podcasts I can't wait. Let me emphasize that because he did. I can't wait.
He put that in all caps.
To listen to. And then
look,
he quotes,
Mom.
Look, Mom.
I got punched in the face. That's what's up.
Boom. Yeah. JJpreneur. There is that big punch in the face. Awesome. A little bit of news. So I almost forget. I'm glad I write this down every time. Remember, we are your friendly, local, neighborhood, top position snatchers, where our mantra is...
Don't be a douche.
Don't be a douche. Again, shout out to RMH. I actually have that as a note in here. This is interesting. So Amazon came out with their Fire, right?
Yeah, the tablet.
And it's an Android tablet. We're, you know, keen on Android here at our office. And it's interesting. So how do you match Amazon versus Apple? So it's a good article about what's the real competition between the two. What is the face-to-face competition between Apple and Amazon?
I'm not sure.
Media. It makes sense, right? It's media. Where Apple makes a ton of their money from selling actual media.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
Now they're going...
Same thing with Amazon.
Yeah, and Amazon does too. I think Amazon is even only interested in the Fire and putting these products out there to up the game for the Amazon tablets. Because at the end of the day, more tablets out there, more people have the Amazon app, more people are down, or the Kindle app, I think is what it is.
More potential purchase dollars.
Yeah. And so, you know, the big thing for Amazon, if they're, it's a $199 product, right?
I mean, that's what actually sounds good, but kind of makes me leery. Like it's $200.
Yeah.
Okay, so
everything else is like between four and at least three.
I haven't read the specs on it, but like one of the things I noticed with a lot of the Android stuff,
no camera.
Well,
on this one.
In the next few months, like, will it be able to take the next Android update?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Or will you be stuck with whatever version comes default on there?
Yeah. That's a great question. I just thought it was interesting because, you know, Amazon doesn't seem like a likely competitor iPad to specifically to Apple. So, you know, what are they doing? And really they're going after the media content. I bet their version of Android, the Fire, has, you know, a little more branded, a little easier
Amazon
to buy books. And
probably sounds like an amplified Kindle.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's and we won't say a Nook because that's I didn't say it. I meant to not. Well, I guess I said it. SEOnews.com. That's SEO-news. I pulled up the first article looking at things to cover and what they had. And, you know, this is one of the things. We just finished 3 podcast series on keywords and how important they are. And actually, we're going to address an email that really asks, you know, keywords is one of the things that the emailer is asking to address, and the emailer's Eddie Runner. The kind of the next thing in line is anchor text, and we talk about this. The best example that we have for how important anchor text is if you have a link to home and the text in the link is home, Google thinks that there's information at the end of that link, so at that home page, about home. And almost never is that true. You want to have a link home because that's what people look and expect to see. You also want to have a link that has the keyword-rich information, anchor text, for that link. Because, again, Google kind of identifies what exists at the end of this link by the anchor text actually in the link.
Definitely. They will use, you know, just in regards to anchor text, they'll look at the link URL, right, that's linking. Then the anchor text, and so they should be relatively consistent. So if you're linking to a water heater repair page, then that URL should say water heater repair. And if this is your home page and this is all you do, then yes, use home for the sake of usability. But it's worth definitely giving that title water heater repair and having another link to the home page, maybe in the footer or somewhere else. With the phrase water heater repair and not home.
Yep. And then, of course, interspersed in text on other pages so that you've got some really good cross-linking on your website.
Yeah.
I just thought it was valuable. It's, you know, it was the first page item on SEO-news.com, and we really wanted to, you know, bring that up because that's, you know, SEO news. I wouldn't call that late-breaking news.
Yeah.
By the way, I did mention our last 3 podcasts were about keywords. We talk about the importance of keywords and how to focus on keywords, what to look for, how to kind of interview a client to understand what keywords are relevant for them, and also to educate the client because, you know, repeatedly I get phone calls. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm on the first page of Google.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't.
The laptop just shut. I just want to make sure it doesn't go to sleep. So the client calls up. I'm on the first page of Google. I really? Yeah, for what term? What do you mean, what term? Like, what do you type just so that you're on the first page of Google? Oh, my company name. Yeah. So how many people are searching for your company name? Maybe you've got a great, you know, base of advertising, traditional advertising, and that's actually happening. But that's, you know, if you're proud of that, you haven't been listening to this podcast for very long, because that should be easy. It's similar to blue one-armed widgets. You go Google it. We're on the first page. We may even have a number of positions on the first page. And the reason is it's so unique. Your business, almost by necessity, by state law,
probably, yeah.
is a unique set of words. And especially if you localize it. So if you're in the Houston area, if you put your company name in Houston, there should be no way that you are not on the first page. If you are not, then and if you are,
yeah, call the hang up.
Well, there goes the phone now. If you are, then don't think you're on the first page. Don't, you know, walk around believing, oh, my website's already on the first page, because people typically aren't going to be typing your business name.
That and speaking of that, kind of along the same lines, is I'm thinking about a call I took yesterday, where the guy was like, well, I'm ranking well, I'm on the first page for these terms, and I wasn't seeing them. And so then I switched to my other monitor where I was not logged into the browser at.
Right.
Right. And I didn't see him. So then I told him, well, are you logged in? Log out, or better yet, open up a different browser and don't log in and search again. I mean, he went speechless. Like, he couldn't see himself.
Right.
And I told him, yeah, so, you know, Google is placing you here because you frequent your own site and they think that's what you want to see. And so when you're logged in and you search, they're going to show you what they think you want to see. Log out when you're doing research.
Yeah.
Log out when you're checking on SEO companies to see where you're ranked at. Make sure you're not logged into Google or, you know, yeah, Google.
Yeah. How do you stalk us? How do you follow us? There's a plethora of ways to do it. You can
plethora,
go
but at least four, but a plethora.
You can go to
Facebook.com/ eWebstyle.
Twitter.com/
eWebstyle.
You can email us at podcast@
eWebstyle.com. You try to get me there.
Yeah. And then you can always watch our podcast. We air it, the actual video of it, at 9:15 Central Standard Time. On Friday mornings, just go to e-webstyle.com/podcast, and there's actually a link to our stream right there. So, again, for those of you who are tuning in and watching, we really appreciate you. You have made us the most popular SEO podcast on iTunes. All right. So, Eddie Runner sent in this long letter, and it covers a whole lot of points, really. I'm just going to read it, and we're going to stop from time to time.
He emailed that to podcast@e-webstyle.com.
Yeah, he knows how to make contact. He's good. He says, I enjoy listening to the podcast. I get a lot out of them. Thank you. If not new stuff, it reminds me of the importance of old stuff I already know. Really helps me stay on my toes. I listened to one of your podcasts this morning, and you talked a little about finding what is the landing page for your keywords. I think you said it's easiest to simply do a Google search with each keyword. So that's the process of, you want to know, so you've been doing some effort and you want to know. Here's a great example. PatrickWannis.com, he has a quit smoking product. So we're working on some quit smoking terms for a while. You type in quit smoking hypnosis and it would land him on the home page, not actually on his quit smoking page. His home page, because of the nature of his business, had nothing relevant to smoking, to quitting smoking. So we actually had to put a logo on there. The page has changed since then. But we had to put, you know, something on there so that when
Rick
people
just quit smoking.
Exactly. So so you want to do that research. You want to know in Google Analytics, you don't want to just know that people are getting to your website from XYZ keywords. You want to actually go Google those and figure out what page they're landing on.
Yeah, a good way to do that in Analytics, if you don't really have the time to search your key phrases, which you should do, is look at your entrance pages. Analytics will show you entrance pages and exit pages. And so look at your entrance pages, which pages are people actually entering your site on. Then trail that back to which keyword they use.
Because maybe it's an old, ugly blog that wasn't designed to actually close business, and so you just got to be aware of that. Eddie goes on to say, I recently found that in Google Webmaster Tools, under your site in the web, there is a tab for search queries. It has a list of top queries to your website. So that's pretty cool. You can actually go there, and Google Webmaster Tools will actually tell you the top queries that are getting you traffic to your website. If you click on the search term, it will show you the pages on the website that Google links to. So this is really, you know, one interface where you've got at least, you know, the top 10, top 20 queries, and you can quickly figure out where they're landing. You can do the same. By the pages I want or don't want to show up for each of the search queries. I haven't played around with that.
Yeah, that's the Webmaster Tools tool that allows you to go in and kind of tweak. If you notice that your water heater repair phrase is landing them on a tankless water heater page and not the water heater repair page, then they do have some tools in place where you can switch it. It still requires Google to re-index it and make it valid, but you can at least tell them this is where you want it to go.
So this is really interesting, right? Because I wonder what the real implications are. If you're telling Google, hey, don't send traffic here for this keyword, send it here. But Google, clearly with their algorithm, has decided that the home page. I wonder how they handle that. We'll end up playing around with that, because there's certainly, you know, Patrick Wanis is a great example of where we would have rather sent people directly to a smoking page. If you give them that guidance, I might be concerned about falling off of the server.
They're like, okay, yeah, if we send it to that page, you're not going to be on page one anymore.
That's like, it seems dumb, right? Because that would defeat the purpose, but we'll play around with that. He normally sorts on the average position column. That way you can scroll down and see the search queries that come up first on Google. And he actually tracks the top three Google pages every morning to make sure that they're, you know, what's moving up and what's moving down. On another subject, keywords. SEO gurus always refer to keywords like they're a known quantity, not a variable. What I mean is,
like they're a known quantity and not a variable.
Like, okay. It's like, you know, if we just ran around and said, you know, keywords, 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 and then content is king, etc., and then do three podcasts on keywords, then we would be, you know, what he's accusing SEO gurus of doing, we would exactly be doing. Because keywords aren't a known quantity. There's a lot of effort that needs to go into identifying keywords. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, oh, make sure you're focused on the right keywords and then move on to the next subject. You've got to, like, well, how do you focus on the right keywords?
How do you determine the right keywords? What are the right keywords?
What tools can you use?
How do you know they're the right keywords?
Exactly. You know, and that goes to ROI, or actually setting goals in Google Analytics to make sure that traffic is actually, that you're keeping track of, if that traffic's converting the way you want it to, whether that be business or white papers, or like in our case, our push is that people submit for
a
web analysis.
Be a download or the contact form submission, a phone call, you know, it doesn't matter.
And he goes on to say that his experience is that keywords are sometimes a huge mystery. We've got some good examples in our podcast where we talk about MEP, I think, which is mechanical electrical plumbing, which is a phrase that people use in the industry on the commercial side. And when we were working with a commercial plumber, that was a term they brought up that we would have never thought of. Mm-hmm. So that comes through, you know, he's right. Sometimes it is a huge mystery. And it's just really, it's a lack of education. You've got to spend time and educate yourself. In our situation, we have to educate ourselves on what the client does, how that client finds people.
Well, it's that and it's effort. Like, it's more than just determining what those keywords are, but it's applying the effort you use consistently. This is, you know, we look at reports monthly for a reason, not just to see how much traffic came, but which keywords should we focus on, which ones are doing excellent, and we can stop bidding on them and work on something else, or, right, you know, vice versa. So it's definitely educating yourself and then consistently providing that effort to maximize your keywords.
He goes on to say he had an e-commerce website, and they put a lot of emphasis on the part numbers, but not too long later, they shifted to part descriptions. Folks looking on Google often don't know the part number. Do you want to be optimized for the part number?
Yes, absolutely.
Right, and that should, you know, hopefully it's fairly easy depending on the competitive nature of those particular products. You also want to, you know, most people are going to be typing description. You know, water filter for my GE refrigerator. I don't, you know, most people don't know that it's, I'm going to do this again. Most people don't know that it's actually, you know, W, I can't remember the part number,
part,
but I just went to
WGAAB / F.
I think it's actually like WMD or WMF, because I just bought one. So when I searched, the first thing I did was search the generic term for what came up, and then I found the part number and start searching that because I want to find cheaper pricing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people aren't going to get into the cheaper pricing. They're just going to type the description. There it is. I can buy it. It's reasonably priced, and they're going to go for it. So, you know, that's a great point. It's in this situation, you really need to be optimizing for
both.
A number of things. Yeah. He likes to learn new words and phrases and use them all the time. Strangely enough, Google thinks one of the strongest keywords in the word is the word click. That's for his website. And that's because each product has a link that says click.
Yeah, that's, you should change that.
Yeah.
I mean, click here, you know, I won't say don't use it anymore because sometimes it's necessary, although I highly recommend changing it when you can. Instead of, you know, click here, I think people who use the internet these days are smart enough to know that if it's highlighted or if it's underlined and it's blue, then it's a link. And so it's not necessary to put click here. You can they'll know that they can click on it. And so instead, use a key phrase. Use a key phrase in that anchor text, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, instead of using click here as your anchor text.
And he says, one more story, if you don't mind. Hopefully you guys don't, because I actually thought this was really interesting. He says that he's talked to a lot of SEO guys. They seem to know what's going on, but never give him much feedback. So hopefully we can change that a little bit. It's a fairly large e-commerce website. It's been online since 1995, and they're always adding new features. Several years ago, they completed and added a site search feature to every web page. This is pretty common and found on most websites. In the office, they have the sound of ka-ching that sounds every time we get an order online order. By the way, that's really cool.
Yeah, ka-ching.
Ka-ching, so that kind of motivates everybody in the office. It is normal that we hear that sound several times each hour during the day. On the day they launched the search box, they noticed later in the afternoon that we had no ka-chings and therefore no orders.
Hmm.
We checked the website and everything worked fine. We checked the traffic and we had plenty of visitors, so I quickly added a feature to the search results page that sends me the search strings the customers are using. Holy cow, customers are searching for totally stupid things. Giant search strings that couldn't possibly bring up any search results from their database of part numbers and descriptions. And I would have to add, with the current search structure.
Yeah.
So if you search, you know, for five different keywords and your structure is looking for an exact match, your search box is looking for exact match. I agree with you. But if your structure is looking for, you know, just like Google does, any one of those words and then combine them, then you would actually get some good results. He quickly removed the search box, and within 15 minutes, they were ka-chinging again. I've since built a more robust searcher that not only searches string and customer types, the types in, but also breaks apart each search string, even if they type something stupid.
Good. I was going to say that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because my initial thought was, okay, improve the search.
Yeah.
You know, give it some more features so it could search broad or exact or phrase or show similar results or some results that may match, you know, what he searched,
right.
Similar to how Google does.
We worked on a book website a while back, and one of the things that we did is implement a search feature. And we quickly realized, you know, the search feature, you have to, search features are not as simple as they sound on, especially for a product-based website. So you've got to spend a lot of effort to make sure that you're returning some results and make sure things are going out well. And at the same point, you want to make sure that it's relevant. He also didn't have the search page on every page. Folks seem to place more orders if they simply go through our normal navigation buttons. That's great information.
Great
interesting
observation.
It was a giant learning experience for everyone. Has there been any studies on this? Well, I think the reality is, I think you can have search on every page. I think that search, you really need to, what's happening is, I don't know what your products are, but when you go through category by category by category, people know, can actually find what they're looking for. And when you search, because of the lack of quality in the search, and therefore the search results, they're, you know, they're getting frustrated and they're leaving. I mean, that's the simple explanation of what's going on. So as you improve that, maybe your search results need to be broken down into categories because that's what people understand. Maybe there's a better way of displaying it. Well, one, a better way of searching it, and then two, a better way of displaying it to make sure that the client, the visitor, is actually able to, you know, to parse the search results with what they're really looking for. So I know on the search we did, when the search that we coded, we actually went word by word, and then the more word, and then sorted by the relevance. So the books that had the most terms associated
with
the
search queries
were at the top. And now that particular website didn't have the volume. You know, if you're lucky, you had that feedback loop, right? Yeah. That ka-ching really told you what's going on. That's actually pretty cool. In this particular case, the traffic wasn't there to really know what difference would affect that search had on that particular site. We just knew that it had to be decent. We just knew, well, let's see, there's two of us. We search different ways. When I search this way, it gives me stupid results, right? Or so the irony here is, your stupid customers and their stupid searches, when it gets no results, they're like stupid websites.
Exactly. Yeah, the stupid search. Back no ka-ching for you, you know.
So, and then the other person searches a different way, and just by combining those two, and really, you know, information display is a huge industry, actually. There are consultants out there that will tell you how to display stuff. So that's how important how you display those search results are. It sounds like you've gotten it all ironed out, and it's interesting because you. He did say, "P.S. It took me a while to find your email address on your eWebStyle webpage. Phone number is everywhere, like you always preach, but email address should be well, don't you think?"
Yeah. No, not really. I mean, my personal opinion in regards to displaying email addresses is I don't like to be spammed, and so if you want to contact me, fill the form out. You know, it'll come to my email, and then I'll have your email, and we can respond that way. But you know, I don't like to post, you know, my personal email anyway. I think the podcast email may be posted.
Yeah, it may be, and he actually sent that in on support.
Support.
So he found that. Yeah. I don't even know where he. We'll pull that down. No, that worked out really good. I'm glad he got in contact with us. And those are great points. I mean, this is. You know,
yeah, thanks for the letter. I mean, 3 pages, like, that's awesome.
Yep.
Who sends a 3-page email?
And it's installer.com is his email address. I don't know if that's the e-commerce website that he's talking about or whatever.
Installer?
Yeah, installer.com.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know. I think I glanced at it. I just don't remember what it is.
What's our? Yeah, we you know, almost done. I got some blanks there.
All right, blanks there. Hold on.
Blank stare with the smirk this time.
You are good.
Yeah, blank stare with the smirk. And, you know, I'm drawing a blank on the company's name. I think it's Sequid Media, company who bought MySpace.
Okay.
3 months ago, they bought MySpace. Huge investment for them. Everybody at MySpace was happy. They ramped up staff, get ready to do a grand relaunch. Here we are 90 days later. They pushed back the relaunch date to TBA and fired 50 people.
Oh, so we'll just buy that, we'll put in new staff, and then we'll fire them.
Yeah, oh, this is great, and so 90 days later, no, this is not that cool. You know? So, yeah, blanks to you guys for doing that.
I wonder if it's the brothers who sued Facebook are using their money from suing Facebook to go out and buy MySpace.
Try to build a competitor. Yeah.
That would be hilarious. We'll have, like, Facebook 2 or MySpace The Reckoning. It's a horror movie.
My other blank stare is at Google. I'm really starting to believe it's personal. You know, they in Google Analytics, they release real-time stats now.
Right.
They only did it to select few users. Just like anything else they beta, I always got to beg, you know, to get some access. You know, and so, yeah, Google, come on,
where my access at?
Yeah, where my access? Google Apps still not working with G+, and now you release real-time data, in analytics, which is awesome because we do have clients who get tons of traffic.
Right.
So it would be nice to see what's happening in real time. And yeah, and I don't get the beta usage. And I'm a truly a GA user. So
like life bread, like wake up, start using GA.
Yeah, let me get some analytics usage, man. So that was my blinks there.
All right, well, that's awesome. You have been listening to podcast number 123. That's 123. It's kind of cool. The most popular SEO podcast on iTunes. You saw how excited we were about reading reviews. All you need to do is a three-step process. Go onto iTunes, create an iTunes account, write a review. And then if you want, send us an email or hit us up on Facebook and let us know that you've done it. We'll give you a little bit of link love. We'll be excited. I can erase a tear from my tear tattoo collection, and we'll be good to go. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris.
Slightly raised up eyebrow, highbrow. Tamely, gamely, headed my way. Cool as mountain snow, girl, glow, girl. Pining, shining, needing some play. Where have you been all my life? Something pure yet so refined. She's gonna set me free.